to 13, verse 1. And as he went out of the temple, one of the disciples said unto him, Master, see what manner of stones and what buildings are here. And Jesus answering said unto him, Seest thou these great buildings? There shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat on the Mount of Olives over against the temple, Peter and James and John and Andrew asked him privately, Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign when all these things shall be fulfilled? And Jesus answering them began to say, Take heed, lest any man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And when you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, be not troubled. For such things must needs be, but the end shall not be yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be earthquakes in divers places, and there shall be famines and troubles. These are the beginnings of sorrow. But take heed to yourself, for they shall deliver you up to councils, and in the synagogues you shall be beaten, and you shall be brought before rulers and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them. And the gospel must first be preached or published among all nations. But when they shall lead you and deliver you up, take no thought beforehand what you shall speak, neither do ye premeditate. But whatsoever shall be given you in that hour, that speak ye. For it is not you that speak, but the Holy Ghost. Now the brother shall betray the brother to death, and the father the son. And children shall rise up against their parents and shall cause them to be put to death. And you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But he that shall endure until the end, the same shall be saved. For when you shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, standing where it ought not, let him that readeth understand. Then let them that be in Judea flee to the mountains. And let him that is on the housetop not go down into the house, neither enter therein to take anything out of his house. And let him that is in the field not turn back again to take up his garment. But woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. And pray ye that your flight be not in winter. For in those days shall be affliction such as was not from the beginning of the creation, which God created unto this time, neither shall be. And except that the Lord had shortened those days, no flesh should be saved. But for the elect's sake, whom he has chosen, he has shortened the days. And then if any man shall say to you, Lo, here is Christ, or Lo, he is there, believe him not. For false Christ and false prophets shall rise and shall show signs and wonders to seduce, if it were possible, even the elect. But take ye heed, behold, I have foretold you all things. And in those days after the tribulation, the sun shall be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light. And the stars of heaven shall fall, and the powers that are in heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. And then shall he send his angels, and shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from the uttermost part of the earth to the uttermost part of heaven. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When her branch is yet tender and put forth leaves, you know that summer is near. So you in like manner, when you shall see these things come to pass, know that it is nigh, even at the door. Verily I say to you that this generation shall not pass till all these things be done. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. But of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels that are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Take ye heed, watch and pray, for you know not when the time is. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants, and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Watch ye therefore, for you know not when the master of the house comes, at even, at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning. Lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping, and what I say to you I say unto all, watch. Boy, there's a mouthful here. Let's see what we can do with it. He just got through teaching the parable on the And they're talking about the old lady that gave the two mites and how much she had given. And we receive from people from time to time. And there was a lady today. And when they do these things, I usually weep when I read them. Because this lady sent $5 bill. And she knows that's not a lot of money. Everybody knows today $5 is like picking a nickel up off the ground when we were kids, you know. And she said, I just wanted to send this. I don't have much. She said, maybe it can help you buy some stamps or something. She knew it wasn't very much, but that's not the point. It's she gave out of her own necessity, she gave. And she said, I want to thank you for feeding me a slice. She said, no, for feeding me a loaf of bread. And she just thanked us for, we send her writings and tapes and stuff, and she's just blessed by it. And the sincerity of some of these people, and you know, I really don't expect anything out of them. I mean, some of these people, it's, their finances are terrible, but I wouldn't dare send it back. You know, they're hoping God will increase them in this, and I am too. And I pray God really increase this lady. She blessed my heart today when we received that letter. But he just got through with this stuff, and it says, as he went out of the temple, and that's the natural temple, that's the word Hieron, not Naos, one of the disciples said to him, Master or teacher, see what manner of stones and what architecture, the word building should be architecture, are here. Art here shouldn't be there. So he said, look at the architecture, look how fantastic this building is. And that's just like the church today. Look how fantastic our building is. You know, we spend millions of dollars on church buildings and let the people rot. Something's wrong. Bad wrong. When preachers have to run around in Mercedes and chauffeur-driven limousines and fly around in big fancy jets and have multi-million dollar homes, and they got people that haven't got enough money to get to church sometimes. Something's bad wrong. People that aren't getting enough food. Something's wrong. The wealth is not distributed where it's supposed to be. The church receiving the wealth is not so the preachers can have it. I know Jesus had everything he needed when he walked on this earth, but he came to serve, not to be served. So he wasn't here gathering up. In fact, he didn't handle the money. He let the thief handle that. Okay? The best way to do it. It's an idol to them, so let them handle it. But when he made this statement, Jesus, responding to him, said to him, look. When he said, CSA, he said, look at these great buildings or these big buildings. There shall not be one stone left on another that shall not be thrown down. Don't you think that just busted their bubble? Okay. Everybody tries to say, and just like Bob said earlier, he hoped he didn't offend that man, but you know, he thought maybe that man might have offended you. You have to say what's in your heart. And to be a minister of God, you cannot come to one person, like I come over here to this side and say, well, Terry, it's okay. Don't worry about you violated 10 of the 11 commandments, or 11 out of the 10. Don't worry about it. It's okay. Don't make a difference. And then go over this on this side and say, now you got to straighten up, because this one can handle it and that one can't handle it. That's hogwash. Jesus said there's one way. And he was the same example that we are supposed to be. True or false? Okay. When Jesus came in, did he call them serpents? Hypocrites? Vipers? Did he go to the heart of the issue every time and say, this is your problem? He didn't have to say it. He just mentioned it. They knew what their problem was. The rich man, the rich young man. What must I do? He said, do these things. He said, I've kept the commandments from my youth. He said, well, there's one more thing. Sell everything you got, because he knew what his idol was. Jesus had to speak the truth. Any man or woman that serves God has to speak the truth. No other way. How can you do it any other way? Can I lie today or lie to someone and then turn around and tell someone else a different story? Can I? I mean, there's just no way. You can't fit this in. If our minds can justify that I can do one thing here and be different in this room as we're meeting than I am in my home or in a restaurant or in a store or out on a field somewhere or up on the woods or wherever I'm at, if I can be different whenever I go out of my normal routine, tell me what I would be. I'd be a hypocrite. And 99.9% of the people that go into church on Sundays, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, Thursdays, or any other day are hypocrites. Because when they're out there in the world doing their thing through the week, they're not acting like they act when they come in here, in the churches. Don't you agree? Don't you see the people every day they come in church and say, oh, everything's fine, ain't got no problems. And then all of a sudden, when they go out there, you read in the paper where there's child abuse and every kind of crazy thing in the world, and that's in the church. Divorce. All these things are rampant in the church. In the church world, they shouldn't be there. You know, we should be able to work it out. I understand that sometimes I've been divorced myself, and that might, on the tape, someone might get offended and say, well, he's been divorced, he can't preach. Well, that's okay. If that's what people believe, they can do it. But that's religion. All manner of sin shall be forgiven, right? Doesn't make any difference. If we're serving God, the past don't make any difference, does it? It's right now. Okay, verse 3 says, and as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, what would that speak of? The Mount of what? Anointing. Okay, Olives speaks of the anointing. Against or directly opposite of the temple. Peter, James, and John and Andrew ask him privately, tell us, when shall these things be and what shall the sign be when all these things shall be fulfilled? Is it any different today? Didn't Jesus speak in another place and said, an evil and adulterous generation seeks for a sign, and you'll receive none except the sign of Jonas? He was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the bowels of the earth. Right? So, we're not supposed to look for signs. Well, excuse me, if you go to church most places, what are they all looking for? Give me a sign. Give me a word. Tell me something so I can tell when it's going to happen. What's going to happen? Prophesy to me. Nothing wrong with prophecy, but it better be from God. How many people do you know that's ever prophesied and has never missed a lick? Never missed once. Does anybody know anybody like that? Most of the people that prophesy, if they got 1 out of 100 right, I'd be surprised. You know what this book says about it? I think it's in Deuteronomy. He said, if anyone say, thus saith the Lord, and it come not to pass, don't fear that man. He said, don't fear that man or woman, because they're not a prophet of God. Just because they tell you they are, does that make them a prophet? Okay. Lifestyle should show you a prophet, not words. And Jesus, responding to them, began to say, take heed lest any deceive you, or literally cause you to roam from safety, truth, and virtue. Take heed lest any man deceive you or cause you to roam from safety, virtue, and truth. That says something to me. What does it say to you? Well, he says, take heed lest a man cause you to do what? To roam astray. Now, how could you roam astray if you wasn't where you're supposed to be already? How can you get away if you wasn't there already? I'm just thinking. Do you understand what I'm saying? I got to be on the right way to get off the way, don't I? And the only thing that's going to take you off that course is what? A man. Now, don't be pointing at somebody, because this is not an external walk, is it? Wonder what that man might be. It's me. It's you. It's yourself. The only one that can lead me astray. Because this Bible tells me that deception does not come from without. It comes from within. So if I'm going to be led astray, it's my man who led, my natural man, my natural thinking that led me astray. I picked up with the ways of the world or my own ways. And I think it says it's his way. Right? And he said, take heed lest any man deceive you, verse 5. And verse 6, because many shall come or appear in my what? My onoma, my nature and my character, saying, and see, there's your key. All they do is say. When are you going to get people say, I am Christ, I am the man of God, I am the woman of God, watch me. I dare you to watch me. I don't care, watch me anywhere I go. I'm under a microscope anyway, so why not? If you follow me, you know what you're going to find? Tell me what you're going to find if you go where I go. You're going to find the same thing that I've got. See? God's no respecter of persons. If you'll walk the course that He walked, and that's all I'm trying to do is follow the same course that Jesus walked as a man. And if you'll walk that same course, God would have to be a liar not to give you the same thing He gave Jesus when He walked it out. Wouldn't He? So if we walk that same course, and see, most people think that's in a rose garden. The garden he ended up in wasn't the one you'd want to be. It's called a rose garden. It's where his death began. Most people don't want that, do they? Well, how are we going to be like him if we don't suffer with him? How are we going to reign with him? Everybody wants to reign. Nobody wants to suffer. Makes me think of that little story about Henny Penny, the one that raised the little chicken that raised, said, I got wheat to sow. Who wants to help me? Nobody wanted to help. Well, I've got to plow it and take care of it and harvest all this stuff. Who wants to help me? Nobody wants to help me. I'm busy. Got too many things to do. Well, it's time to reap it. How many wants to help me get it in? Oh, not me. Too busy. Everybody's busy. And then it comes time to, we got to crush it. We got to mill this wheat so we can make bread. Nope, too busy. Well, we got to bake some bread now. We got the flour ready. Ah, we're too busy. Well, she said, now I got the bread baked. Everybody can smell it probably, huh? Who wants to help me eat it? Hey, we will. Hey, we'll be glad there to help you eat it. Never mind, she said. But see, the only thing wrong with that little parable is, at the end, you know what we'd say? Come on. Come and eat. You're going to feed them. But see, that's what everybody does. They wait for somebody else to feed them. I call it the baby bird syndrome in the church. Everybody wants to sit and let the preacher do it. And I can't do it for you. I'll be straight honest with you and tell anybody that hears this tape, no preacher in the world can do it for you. I can help you. I can give you some guidance. But you and God have to work it out on your own. It's not up to me. But we have all these people saying that I am Christ, and they shall do what? They shall deceive how many? A whole bunch. Whole bunch. And that's where most of the church is. They're deceived. Because you got men in $1,000 suits and wearing a $100 tie and Rolex watches and big diamond rings and all this fancy stuff, and they're saying, everybody said, it's got to be godly. Look at all the prosperity he has. Well, he's raped the church. Why shouldn't he be prosperous? He took everything from the poor people. Why shouldn't he have a lot? And see, that's no different than when Saul was set up as king in the Old Testament. God was their king. They said, no, we want a king like all the nations have. Well, he said, if you take him and put him as your king, he's going to take your daughters and marry them. He's going to take your sons and put them in slavery. He's going to take your crops. He's going to take everything you got, abuse you. That's okay. We want a king. All right, that's what you want. It's what you got. And that's exactly what's in the church today. They're getting exactly what they wanted. They want somebody to take their wealth and control them, manipulate them. That's exactly what you're going to get. Read 1 Samuel chapter 2, I think it is, about 30, verse 30 through 33 or 34. He'll tell you. He said, I left the ones on the altar for one, those ones on the altar that needed to be dealt with, but I left them there for one reason, that they could consume your vision and grieve your heart. Consume your eyes and grieve your heart. That's what they're doing. They're consuming your vision. Okay. And verse 7 he says, and when you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, be not frightened, because such things are necessary. But the end is not yet. The end's not yet. There's been wars and rumors of war since the beginning of time, haven't there? And what's the big deal? I mean, we can't do anything about it. Can we? They're still looking to try to make people fit the mold. And if you think for one minute that America is not trying to brainwash all those Afghanis and Pakistanis and all them people, where you're kidding yourself. Because they think they're all crazy in their religion, and maybe they are, but what right does America have to tell them, you need to be Christians, when the Americans ain't? They ain't living it. What right have they got to tell anybody anything if you can't live it? See? I got no right to tell you anything. If I can't walk it, then I got no business telling you anything. That's what the church is. That's where the world's at. And they seem to like it, so that's what they're going to get. Verse 8. Because nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be earthquakes, what? In divers places? That's not what it says. Beg your pardon? Literally it says throughout the land. That's what the language says. Throughout the land. Well, the language actually says throughout the land. I mean, there's a lot of translations of it, but the language literally says, in the Greek says, throughout the land. There'll be... Now, do you think he's talking about all this upheaval and earthquakes being in this thing down here? Sure it is. It's all, as I say, all these upheavals and earthquakes. This is not something going on external. If you think it's external, you're going to keep watching wars from now on. They're always going to be here. But if you realize that the war's going on within you, the earthquake's going on within you, because you're made out of the earth, aren't you? If you realize that's where it's going on, you're going to get a grip on something. Until you realize it's internal, you're always going to be blaming somebody out there. And you'll never change as long as you do that. And there shall be famines. Well, what's the famine? You think you'd starve to death? It's in here. Starving for the Word of God. There's a famine for the Word of God in the land. In our heads. Because our minds don't understand God's Word. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge of God. Hosea 4:6. See, that's why people are destroyed. The only reason anyone's destroyed is because they don't have the relationship with God. So the mind can do its thing, can't it? The Satan, the accuser, can just go wild because I have no proof. Every time Satan or the devil spoke to Jesus, what did he do? He said, it's written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. It is written, it is written. You know how he could say that? He knew the Word of God. If you know the Word of God, when all these accusations come in your head that drive you crazy, guess what will happen? You'll say, I ain't buying that one. I ain't buying that one. I'm not going there. When the temptations come, not going to happen. Not going to happen. But, see, you got to make a choice. There's where you make your choice. Do I believe what this thing tells me in my head, or do I believe what God's Word says? And see, there we go back to the whole foundation is the Word of God. If we don't have the foundation, Matthew 7 said, if the man built his house upon the sand, what was going to happen? When the rain came and the winds came, in the flood of the Holy Spirit, what's going to happen? The man's house is going to be destroyed. But the man that built it on the rock, when all these same things come to him, what's going to happen? Still be standing, see? You got to know that these tests are for us. God's not trying to find out which one of us can make it. He's trying to find out, he's trying to prove to you that you can make it. This is about you and your walk. He's already got it figured out, believe me. And troubles. The word troubles literally rebellions. These things are the beginnings of sorrows. Why? Now, why would he say it was sorrows? See, because these external wars can go on all over the world and we're never affected by them. Guess what? Then it can't be creating the sorrow because he said it would be there would be the beginning of sorrow. You know why? Because those rebellions are inside of us. Just like the earthquakes, just like the wars, it's all right in here. Every one of us have them, don't we? If we were honest with ourselves and with everybody else, we'd say, man, I have earthquakes all the time. But what are you going to do? Are you going to collapse or are you going to stand? He said he's going to shake everything that can be shaken. He's even going to shake the heavens. What is the heavens? It's you in the Spirit. And He's got to shake you so He can prove to you who you are. If you can't take the shaking, you're going to collapse. But see, we're going to stand. We know we are because of what He's told us. Verse 9. But take heed or look at yourselves. The word take heed literally means look at. Look at yourselves. Does this sound like something external? See? Why would He say, look at yourselves, if it wasn't internal? You think He wants to look at this external mess we're looking at? Come on. He wants us to look inside of ourselves and see what's going on. Because they shall deliver you up to councils, literally the Sanhedrin, and in the synagogues or the Christian churches, you shall be beaten. Anybody ever been beaten in them churches? Anybody ever sat in one of them has, spiritually, they've been beat up a lot, haven't they? And you shall stand before rulers and kings, not for my sake, but because of me, to witness to them. See? You're going to stand before them and be beaten for a reason. What's the reason? It's going to be a witness to them. As surely as Jesus said on the cross when they were killing Him, Father, forgive them. Stephen said in the book of Acts, lay not this sin to their charge. Right? Right on down the line. We got to say the same thing. I don't care what they do to you. It doesn't mean you have to stand there and let somebody take advantage of you. Don't have to make you a doormat. Somebody can wear you out. All I'm saying is this. If someone does something to you, or to me, I have no retaliation. I have no right of retaliation. If I'm going to be the son that He's called me to be, I have no right to retaliate. You've got to make that decision to yourself. If you're called, then you've got to walk a narrower path than anybody else. Verse 10, and the gospel must first be preached to all nations. To all nations. Well, you know, Paul said that the gospel has already been preached to every creature under the sun. Did you know that? Paul said, I think it's in Galatians. Let me see, I can look at it real quick. If I can't find it, Lois, I'll let you find it. Not where I thought it was there, but see if you can find it. Yeah. To all nations, I believe, or every creature.
How's that been done?
Well, I'm just telling you what it is. By spirit. It's by the spirit. It's not in the physical, because people's not even born yet when Paul said this. Many people haven't been born yet. But it was done in the other realm. Had to be finished in the other realm.
It's in Colossians.
Okay. Okay, Colossians 1:23. Go eat popcorn. Okay. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you have heard and which was preached, what tense is that? Was preached, past tense, to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. He said, preach to every creature. I think he's preaching by spirit, wouldn't you think? Verse 11, back to Mark 13. But when they shall lead you and deliver you up, take no thought beforehand what you shall speak, neither do you premeditate. But whatsoever shall be given you in that hour, that speak you, because it's not you that speak, but the Holy Ghost. So when you get put in a tough spot, what should you rely on? You don't try to plan what's going to happen. You just let the flow go. And you take whatever God gives you. Do you think that's easy for a natural man to do? I don't think a natural man can do it. It has to be the spirit man leading the whole thing. He says, not you that speaks, but the Holy Spirit. Now the brother shall betray brother to death, and father the son, and children shall rise up against their parents, and shall cause them to be put to death. And you shall be, or you will be, hated or detested by all, and the word men in there, by all, because of my nature, said of my namesake, because of my nature in you. Jesus said in another place, he said, if they did this to the green tree, what are they going to do to the dry tree? Okay. If they hated him, what are they going to do with you? You think everybody loves Jesus? They didn't love him when he walked on the earth, and they don't love him now either. They say they do, don't they? Well, they don't love the Spirit, that's what it is. They could put up with him as long as he's a little baby, keep him in a manger. But when he became a man and brought forth the power of the kingdom, they couldn't handle him no more, and they don't want nothing to do with him. When the Christ took over, they were finished. And you shall be or will be detested or hated of all men because of my nature in you. But he that shall persevere or endure to the end, that one shall be what? Sozo, delivered. See, the one that endures to the end, that's the one that's going to be delivered. Now, it can't be saved because when he died on the cross, what did he do? He died for the sins of the whole world. He saved all of creation when he died. But they have not been restored back, have they? They were just part of them that's starting to come back. Not all of them. And I'm not going there. Something comes to my mind. I don't think I want to go there. Maybe I do. Kick back in again, so let me look at it. Luke. In Luke, turn to Luke chapter 17, verse 11. And this is a parable which just goes along with this, you know, about the ones that endure to the end shall be saved or delivered. In Luke 17, verse 11, it says this, and it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Anybody tell me what that is? Samaria is mixture. That's your Pentecostal realm. Galilee is the heathen circle. There's your Passover realm. And as he entered into a certain village, and he was on his way where? So he was going to Mount Zion in Jerusalem. That was the tabernacles. He's going to that place. And he says, as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers. 10 here represents the whole of humanity. Okay? And they were all what? What'd you say? They were all lepers. What does this leprosy mean? They were all sin. Romans 12, he said, I concluded all in unbelief that I might have mercy upon all. And he says this, and they lift up and said they were, and there met him 10 men that were lepers which stood afar off. That's the whole of humanity. We were all far off. And they lift up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said to them, go show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. How many of them were cleansed?
All of them.
And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back with a loud voice, glorified God. Now, he wasn't whispering, was he? When God does his work in you, I think he expects a return. Don't you? Some worship back. And fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, or responding said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save the stranger. And he said to him, arise, go your way. Your faith has what? Made you whole. There's a whole bunch of difference between being saved or healed with leprosy. Fingers fall off. I mean, it does irreparable damage to you. But when he said, made you whole, the one that came back, that's the tithe, the first fruit. He said, that one is made whole. That means when that leprosy did its damage to you, your fingers fell off, your ears fell off, your toes fell off. And when he stopped that leprosy, you didn't have no fingers and toes and ears and nose. But when he said, your faith has made you whole, what did it do? It put you back the same way. It grew back what it was supposed to be. And again, it's a parable. He's telling you you're going back the way you started out. Okay? Okay, where am I at? No, I'm still in what?
Mark.
I'm back in Mark. 14. Okay. So he says here in his 14th verse, but when you shall see the abomination of desolation, you know what? It's not what it says. You know what it literally says? It says the idolatry. The idolatry of desolation. Do you know people love misery? Their pain and suffering is an idol. He said their destruction is an idol. It's idolatry of destruction and desolation. He said, and the word, next words, spoken of by Daniel the prophet, all those words are added in, every one of them. That when you see the idolatry of desolation standing where it ought not, let him that read understands. He's trying to say there's something spiritual here. Pay attention. You know what he's talking about? He's not talking about the temple that they were talking about, the big stones. Again, he's talking an internal thing. Know ye not you're the temple of the Holy Spirit? Know ye not you're the temple of God? And when the abomination of the idolatry of desolation standing in the temple where it ought not be. Wonder where it's standing. In my head, there's the thing where it should not be. In my head, I should not be thinking the things that I think. If my mind has been renewed on Christ, would I be thinking them things? See? It's in condemnation, it's the truth. If I focus upon God, how could I possibly focus on my own problem? I don't have enough skill to run two thought processes at the same time. You know what I mean? Just don't work. I'll get confused, and so does everybody else. So the only way I'm going to get it right is I have to let one of them things go. Which one's it going to be? That's your call. Are you going to let loose of the world, or are you going to let loose of God? Because you can't hold them both, because it'll kill you. Our daughter one time told us, said when she was in church earlier, and it just wasn't her time yet, God will get her back when it's time. But she said, I feel like a ping pong ball, or I feel like I'm being torn apart two ways. Said, I want to go serve God, but I want to go out and do things. I said, honey, you got to do what's in your heart. I can't make you do anything. Do what's in your heart. I said, when it's time, he'll come back and get you. If your heart's not here, then adios. And that's all you can do. Because otherwise, you're just going to condemn them. And anybody that's condemned, can they live their life truly the way they should? You got to get that stuff off of it. I don't care where they're at. It's not my call. I would prefer something else for their life, but Father knows better. What was that movie, the old show, Father Knows Best? I believe he still does. But it says, then, said when they let them understand, that he reads this, let them understand, then let them that be in Judea flee to the mountains. What would that mean? The ones that's in Judea flee to the mountains. Mm-hmm. Flee to the mountains. But see, on the higher mountain, there's where God was at. That's a symbol. The highest mountain in Jerusalem. Three mountains in Jerusalem. Ophel, Moriah, and Zion. Flee to the mountains. Get up on the higher mountain. Get out of the valleys, because that's where the world's at. not literally. Okay? And let him that is on the housetop not go down into the house, neither therein to take anything out of his house. And let him that is in the field not turn back again for to take up or to get his garment. Now, what's it telling you? Those two verses telling you one thing. We'll write it on the board. What is it? Don't go back. Don't be thinking you can go back to anything back down there and get a hold of anything behind you. When God comes in your life, I've said it for years, God doesn't bring it to your face to show you something so you can work on it 5 years from now. If God brings something up in your life, when should it be dealt with? Right now. That's when it was brought up. That's when it should be dealt. Okay? And it's saying here, be ready. Many people are not prepared to travel, are they? In the kingdom. Are they ready? How many people you reckon is really ready? You better get ready. You better have this relationship with God. How are you going to accomplish anything, God? How am I going to get to know what God wants me to do if I'm not intimate with Him? How can I have this relationship with my Father? How can I not have this relationship, I should say, and expect to get where I'm going? He's the one that has all knowledge, all wisdom. He has all power, has everything I need, and the world has nothing to give me. Why do I want to go there? It don't make sense, but I mean, I've been there, and I was trapped in the world for a lot of years. But once we've seen this truth, there's nothing. There's nothing left. So what he's trying to tell you in verse 15 and 16 is this. You got to be ready. Always be ready. Verse 17, he says, but woe to them, the little word woe means pain, grief, and suffering, right? That are with child. And literally it says, with the child, there's three words there, in gaster echo. You know what it means? In stomach hold. What's that mean? Somebody's pregnant. Woe unto them that are with child, that's holding the child in your stomach. Now see, I used to think it this way in the exterior realm. Well, this is the church. Well, that was okay for a time. That'd say, okay, that's the Passover experience. They've never even let the baby out of the womb yet. And woe to them that give suck. Okay, they give the baby birth, but they didn't give them nothing to eat but milk. Where'd the meat come in? But now you're going to turn this thing around and put it inside of you. Okay? The baby's out in Passover. In Passover, the baby's in. In Pentecost, the baby's out and is drinking milk. But when are you going to come up in your own life and start hunting your own meat? You understand what I'm saying? There's got to come a time in your life where, don't take this wrong when I say it, you got to be independent. I'm not talking isolated, independent, you never be around anybody, but I got to feed myself. I can't go in the kitchen in my house and just sit there and wait because Lois is working all day. I'm going to get pretty hungry by the end of the day. You know what I mean? So when I get hungry, what have I got to do? I better look for something to eat, see? And that's what's wrong with most of the church world. They're expecting preachers or teachers to come and give them everything. It's never going to happen. First of all, that nobody has it all. And secondly, you've got to hunt it yourself. In Passover and Pentecost, you can be sustained on that. As long as you're in the womb, you're going to draw from the mother's nourishment internally. And once you're birthed out into that Pentecostal realm, you're going to be able to take the milk. But you know what? Sometime you're going to start growing teeth. If you're a healthy baby and you've got the sincere milk of the Word, it's going to produce a hunger in you. It's going to start growing teeth, and you're going to want to chew on something. And you know, Mama ain't going to like it. You keep chewing and not and growing up and not getting off that nipple. It's pretty hard. You get them teeth, you've got to get something else in there. and the church isn't doing it. And we as individuals aren't doing it. That's the problem. Didn't he say we walk out our own salvation, our own deliverance? We got to do it ourselves. And if we can't do that, I mean, I don't know what to say. Verse 18. And pray to God, it says. When it says pray ye, pray to God, is what the language says. Pray to God that your flight or your escape be not in winter. Right? Pray to God that your escape be not in... Wow. Why do I want not my escape to be in death? Well, who wants to wait till the end? Why can't I enjoy it now? Seek him now while he can be found. See, but why can't I start taking the life right now and live it now? You want me to tell you why most people can't do it? Well, somebody in church told them they can't do it until they die. And that's the only reason why they're doing it. Because someone told them you got to wait till you get to heaven to do it. And I can't find that anywhere in this book. Nowhere where it says, when you die, you get to go to heaven and feel good then. It's not there. Somebody made that one up. Verse 19, because in those days or in that day shall be affliction. And that word affliction is thlipsis. It's pressure. There'll be pressure such as was not from the beginning of creation, which God created until this time, and neither shall be. So what he's telling you, in that day of winter, in that day of death, the pressure is going to be tremendous if you want to wait for that. And except the Lord had shortened those days, or that day, no flesh should be saved. But for the elect's sake, whom he has chosen, he has shortened the days, or the day. He shortened it. Why? So he could accomplish what he had. Now, he said, for the elect's sake. Who's the elect? First fruit. In Ephesians it says, we were chosen in him before the foundation, or literally the conception of the cosmos, before the orderly arrangement of man came about in our head with Adam. We were chosen in him from the very beginning. And then, verse 21, if any man shall say to you, lo, here is Christ, or lo, he is there, believe him not. Why? Why would he say, don't believe anybody that says that Christ is there or Christ is over here? It's not an external thing is exactly the problem. Everybody wants you to look outside. They say, oh, go to Toronto Airport, the big church thing up there. They're getting in all that laughter. That's where it's at. Or let's go to Texas. Or let's go to Florida. Let's go to North Carolina. Let's go to anywhere, California. Go anywhere just to be going. And he's right inside. I don't have to go anywhere else. I've been called everything in the book because I won't chase after the ministries that's got big names and I won't say tell them how great they are. Well, I'm sorry. I got the same Holy Spirit that they got. I don't have to stand second seat to any man on the face of this earth or any woman in ministry because I'm speaking by the same Spirit. And sometimes I wonder if they have that Spirit they talk about because their lifestyle don't portray it. You follow me. I don't care. I encourage you to try it because I think you'll find the same thing I find. But I'm not afraid to tell the truth. And most of them are because of their money situations. I'm not worried about it. Don't have to chase Christ because he's within. And he tells you this is why he does it in verse 22. He tells you this because many false Christs, the word pseudo-Christ, and pseudo-prophets shall arise. Anybody ever meet a pseudo-Christ or a pseudo-prophet? I see them all the time. Go watch TV. Go watch TV. You can see plenty of them, can't you? They're false. They're just playing the game. They're hypocrites. And I'm not pointing fingers and name. I said most of them. Could say just about all of them. They're all playing a game. It's a money game. And that's not what it's about. Because false Christs and false prophets shall arise. He didn't say might. He said they shall. And they shall do what? It says show signs. Literally, they'll give signs and wonders or miracles to do what? Where it says seduce, it says to lead away from the truth to error. That's what the language is. It'll lead you. They do it for one reason. To take you away from the truth and to lead you to error. Absolutely. That's exactly what it's about. That number for that word is 635 in the Greek, in your Strong's Concordance, Steve. It's to take you away. It says to seduce or take you, to lead you away from the truth, if possible, even the very elect. That word if was very encouraging to me because about 13 years ago, I read that and I said, oh my God, there's something there. And I said, Father, how can I know that I am not going to be deceived? And he told me something that most people don't want to hear. But it was truth to me and it rang true in my spirit because I heard him speak to me in my baby days in the church when I was just in the Passover experience, he said, you must know my word. Does that make sense? If I know his word and his word is his nature and character, guess what? I know him. And whenever anything speaks to me, and you hear people today say, well, my heart told me to do this or God told me to do that, it don't sound anything like that book to me. Which one do I believe? The man with a $1,000 suit and a $100 tie? Or do I believe what the Word of God says? Okay. I believe the Word. And if people want to tell me I'm crazy, go right ahead. I'll just tell them, thank you, you blessed me. Because he said they'd say all manner of evil about you. It's okay. It's all right. But take ye heed, behold, I have foretold you what? Imagine that. What did he tell you? The word thing in there, just all. I've told you all. I've told all of you something. I've told you what you got to do. So there should be no shock when it comes about. See, I don't think a true son of God should be shocked at anything going on. Y'all be able to look at it, you may not like it, but not surprised at anything. By the time he brings you to maturity, there should be no surprise to anything going on. In that verse 22, where it said they'll show signs and wonders. You can look in Matthew 24:24, and it says it's an identical verse, almost identical verse to this Mark 13:22. And in Revelation chapter 13, verse 13-14, it says the same thing. These are witnesses that show that the church is looking for the very thing that's going to deceive them. The church realm wants signs and wonders and miracles. And God put it in his book three different places, and it said the word to be established in the mouth of two or three witnesses. And there's your three witnesses said that the signs, wonders, and miracles will be the deception of the church. And the people who want to live in the Passover and Pentecost experiences will be deceived in that. Okay? Verse 24. But in that day, in the midst, not after, but in the midst of the tribulation, in the midst of the pressures, the sun shall be darkened or obscured, and the moon shall not give her light or her brilliancy. What do you think we're talking? I'm going to read the next verse. It goes together. And the stars of heaven shall fall, and the powers that are in heaven shall be shaken. Or literally, if I can see what I wrote down here. Thoroughly measured, filled up, filled by, thoroughly measured, filled by shaking the contents is what it means. Thoroughly filled or thoroughly measured or filled by shaking the contents. Now, look what it says. Go back to 24 and start again. And in that day, in the midst of the tribulation of the pressure, the sun shall be darkened. What does the sun represent? God the Father. So God's life in people will be darkened in the midst of what? I'm not going to take that off because that still goes with it. In the midst of the darkening, in the tribulation or the pressure, okay, in the midst of the pressure, guess what happens? The sun, which equals God, is darkened. Do you think God's brilliancy went out? What happened? Your opinion of what God is got in the dark. Your vision is obscured. So you look at God and see darkness. Everything you see, you don't tell me, you want to tell me why you do that? Because you're looking at yourself. If we put our eyes upon Him, we won't have that problem. And it says, the moon shall what? Not give her light. Well, what's the moon? It could be the church realm or it could be your soul, the female context. In Genesis 37, in the Joseph's dream, the sun, the moon, and the stars. Sun was God, the Father. Moon was Mama. That was either the church or else your soul. Okay? So in this darkness, in this time of tribulation, guess what? The soul's not going to... This is who it is. Ultimately, right there. See, my woman is not going to have much brilliance, is she? Should be. Because the pressure we're going through is actually going to do and make you that beautiful bride for Him. That's what's making you into it. It says, so the moon shall not give her light, and the stars of heaven. Right? Who is the stars of heaven? We'll just put stars down here. Sons of Abraham. Huh? Sons of Abraham is what the seed of Abraham, I'm trying to say. Seed of Abraham. Seed of Abraham. Okay? And it said, the stars of heaven shall fall. How many sons do you think have fallen? He said he concluded all in unbelief. Now, how many stars do you think was fallen? How many you think has fallen? Has to be. See, God's no respecter of persons. Everyone has took their dive. Everyone has fallen because of all the pressures that come. Sometime in our life, we've had that pit experience like Joseph had. Everybody's had it. There's the peas that go to the palace, the pit, the prison, to the palace. The three peas. And we all got to go through those experiences. Just like all this. That's all. It's the same story being told from another choice of words. So all of it's shaken, right? Oh, my phone call. And the stars of heaven shall fall, and the powers that are in heaven shall be shaken. Now, notice he didn't say power. He said the stars of heaven shall fall. That's the seed of Abraham, right? Now, he says the powers that are in the heaven, and what is heavens? And it's us, isn't it? Aren't we heaven? Doesn't God dwell in the heavens, in us? So he said the powers that are in the heavens shall be shaken, or thoroughly measured, you know, and filled to shape by shaking the contents. Okay, so what's he trying to say? The powers that be in those heavens shall be shaken. Plural, plural. Double-minded man is what? Okay, if there's two things in there, something's got to go. And it's not God, this is His house, isn't it? So guess who's going? I'll volunteer. Me. You've got to do the same thing. The eviction notice is not to God, it's to me. And I have to volunteer. Okay, I'll take it. I'm going out. Because this is His house, and He's going to do it His way. So, and he said, and the powers that be in heaven shall be shaken. If it's not shaken, how are we going to know what it is? That's the proof, once you've been shaken, that you're a son of God. Now I am standing on the rock. See? Because most people build their house in religion on that sand, Passover and Pentecost, in those first two realms, and they think they're on the rock, but they're just on little pieces of the rock. And when the shaking come, what happened to that man's house? It went down. But you'll never know you're on the rock until you've been shaken. Until your foundations have been shaken, how would you know you're on a solid foundation? Until you've been tested. Would you? See, so tests aren't bad. Tests are the greatest thing in the world. You got to know, and you can't know without the test. God's so faithful. Don't you just love Him? Oh, my. Oh, He's so faithful not to let us get by with our whining and crying. He'll make us go through it one way or another. Okay? And then shall they, wonder who they is. You ever wonder that? Then shall they see the Son of Man appearing, Erchomai, in the clouds amid great power and glory. Now see, everybody in the church world says, oh, here comes Jesus, second coming. What's he going to see there? Clouds is overcomers. He says, then shall they, that's the ones outside of tabernacles other than first fruit, they shall see the Son of Man appearing in the clouds. And in these clouds they'll have great power and great glory. There's first fruit. There's the first fruit. There's the ones that overcame now. They're not waiting until death to escape. These are ones that's living it now. It's being persecuted. And when you get into Hebrews, it says in Hebrews 11, the world wasn't even worthy of them. That's what God thinks about them. These sons, He said, the world's not even worthy of these people. Okay? And then, right? And that's verse 24, 25, and 26. He says, and then, all those things going on, then, there's, and see, He's answering those questions that they ask in that earlier in the chapter. When the disciples said, tell us when these things shall be and what shall be the signs which fulfilled. Here's the answers, right here. If they pay attention, and if you'll pick up on it, these are the answers. He said, then shall He send His angels and shall gather together His elect from the four winds, right, or four corners, literally, what the language says, from the extremities of the earth to the extremities of every part of heaven, to the extremities of heaven, from the extremities of the earth to the extremities, extreme ends of heaven. Okay? Then he says, seems like it changes context, but you really don't. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When whose branch? Talking about something going on. When a branch, you know where a branch starts? You know it's really internal. It starts in that tree and then just kind of pops out. See, it's an internal thing coming out. And when her branch is yet tender, or is literally becoming full of sap. Now when a tree is becoming full of sap, what would you call this? Now, springtime, the trees are coming full of sap right now around us, aren't they? See, it's a beginning of life. Sap is the lifeblood of the trees, isn't it? So he said, when her branch is becoming full of sap and puts forth leaf, you know that summer is near. See, time of death's over. That's what he's talking about. Time of living in this death realm is over. See, my woman, my tree, has begun to sprout. Aren't we part of this tree? Are we branches on this tree? See, there's a time we have to realize that, hey, it's over out there. Time of death's over. It's summertime now. I've lived in death most of my life. Now it's time to come to the truth. Here comes the life. So you, in like manner, when you shall see these things come to pass, know that it is near, even at the door. Jesus said He was the door, didn't He? That's where it's at. Verily I say to you that this generation shall not pass till all these things be done. How could He say it? Everybody said, well, those things didn't take place for a long time. Some of them still going. He wasn't talking about corporately. He was talking about individually in people. Every one of those things was going to pass in that generation. Every one of those first fruit was going to come to maturity. They was going to see that sap come up in those branches and bring forth that, and they knew that the time of death was over. You think everybody sees that? No. They think they're just talking about a tree out here with sprouts coming on it. If that's all we're talking about, we're wasting our time. I'm going to tell you, you're wasting your time listening to me, and I'm wasting my time talking to anybody. If I think it's just about a tree out there natural, we're totally wasting our time. Verse 30, verily I say to you that this generation shall not pass till all these things be done. 31, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. But concerning that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not even the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Only God knows when it's coming to an end. We're not interested. Today the church is looking for miracles and signs and wonders and tell me when it's going to happen. Because they figure, and I've heard people say this, I'm going to live the way I want to till it gets close. And then when them preachers tell me it's close, I'm going to run and get right. You think God's that stupid that we can smoke Him? Come on. Oh, some of the things that people believe. Verse 32. We already did that, didn't we? 33. Take ye heed, watch, and pray, because you know not when the time is. Now, literally it says this. It says, take ye heed, and the word watch means to be ready, to be attentive, to stay awake. Well, you can't stay awake if you haven't been awakened, can you? Do you think He's talking to everybody? That's exactly who He's talking to. And who was He talking to when He was saying that? He was talking to His disciples, wasn't He? See? He took His disciples out and talked to them after they left the temple. See, He didn't talk these kind of truths in the temple, did He? In religion, they don't hear that kind of stuff. Okay, where am I at? Okay, back here. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to every man his work and commanded the porter, or literally the doorkeeper, to watch. Now, what did He tell the doorkeeper to do? Who do you think a doorkeeper is? It's Christ. Now, He didn't tell him to be a spiritual Gestapo, did He? Did He say, make everybody mine? Did He tell him to play God? What did He tell him to do? Watch it. Now you people read things into that. Churches, looks like the one we've talked about earlier, Bob, the man tells them every detail of what in their life, what to do. It's called neo-discipleship. It's somebody that's their thinking has got so far off that they think they're God and they think they know better for you than what your Father does. If I ever get to a place where I think I can do something better than God's got for your life, do me a favor and shoot me. Just put me out of my misery, would you? I'll give you permission to do that if somebody love me enough to do it to me. Put me out of my misery if I get into that kind of shape. They do. That's what I'm saying. They feel like they're God. They feel like they know everything about everything and everybody, and they got all the answers. And that's that abomination of desolation standing in the place it shouldn't be, right there. They're not God. And if you go back and read in Daniel, it says, the abomination of desolation standing in the place it ought not be, professing itself to be God. See? That's what they're doing. They're professing themselves to be God. They're not. They just think they are. Only in their mind. Verse 35. So now He's saying to us, watch you therefore. You watch therefore, because you know not when the master of the house appears. And there's numbers that go with this. At evening, midnight, cock crowing, or in the morning. You know what it really says? At 9 p.m., at 12 o'clock a.m., and at the third watch began at 3 p.m., and the fourth watch was at dawn or daybreak, the watch was at 6 p.m. So you don't know what time of the day. There was four times it speaks of completeness. Any time of the day He's liable to show up. Any watch He's liable to show up, isn't He? Those four different watches covered the whole day. Okay? Verse 36. Least appearing suddenly, he finds you doing what? Who wants to get caught sleeping? I don't think I do. And verse 37. And what I say unto you, I say unto all. What did he say? He said, keep awake. That's what the language says. Keep awake. Once he's woke you up, you better stay awake. That's all I can say. That's why he says, keep awake. He doesn't say, watch. He says, keep awake. And he wouldn't say it to somebody who he'd never woke up, would he? So when God's spoken to us and has woken us up, has waked us out of our long sleep, what should we do? Don't go, stay awake. Don't go back to sleep. And the only way you're going to go back to sleep, don't point at any person and be at blame. You have to take responsibility. You have to take responsibility for it.
Like spiritual
no-dos. Spiritual no-dos. There you go. That'll work. Take some spiritual no-dos. You know what I find some no-dos? It's right in between the covers of this book. You want to find the no-dos? It's in here. I know this book is just a piece of tree with ink on it. But these words will hook you up with the Spirit of God. And you can know everything you need to know. But you're not going to get there if you don't go through there. That's the whole thing.